open your Bibles to John chapter 1. What's that? Offering? Girl, that's what happens. You can send it up here and put it in here. Send it by somebody, whoever. John chapter 1. Let's let Deborah catch up with everybody else around here. All jokes aside, she's getting old, and she just ain't what she used to be. I won't say the rest of that thing. I just say she just ain't what she used to be. Okay, John chapter 1. Christmas stories. You know, Brother Junior was talking about this morning, Matthew. Matthew has his particular things about what he wrote, and truly he represented Jesus as King of Jews. He had more traditions and Jewish traditions and all those things wrapped up in his gospel than anybody else, because he was portraying to the Jewish people Jesus as their king. Mark portrayed Jesus as a sufferer. That's why Mark shows certain things about the suffering of Jesus that no other gospel did. And it shows more about the inner workings of his sufferings and the fact that he was a servant of God. And he came as a servant. Then, of course, Luke represents the fleshly part of Jesus, the manhood of Jesus. That's why he portrays Jesus as a son of man. And that's why the birth of Jesus. Now, Matthew, he concentrates on going back to Joseph's lineage and makes sure that he connects Joseph to the son of David. And therefore, he proves that Jesus, through Joseph, even though Joseph had no seed in Jesus, that Joseph himself was of the lineage of David. And so that was important to the Jews. Luke, because Jesus was of the seed of the woman, and man had nothing to do with him, and he only was a seed of a woman, promised from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, he shows that Mary was of the lineage of David. And so therefore he brings Jesus through the lineage of Mary into Jesus. And therefore Jesus was truly the son of David. Not only that, he also deals more with the physical part of the birth of Jesus. How a virgin could become impregnated and bear a son. And so that's all spelled out in the book of Luke. Now John has a Christmas story. And that's one of my favorite stories. And so this morning, I want to read the Christmas story about Jesus in the book of John. Now, John was an apostle that Jesus loved. He was very close. Wherever Jesus was, John was. When he went down, he took three people with him all the time. John was one of those three. John was the apostle that lived longer. All the other apostles was martyred. Their life was taken. John didn't. He lived his out on Patmos, on the island of Patmos. He wrote the book of Revelation from the island of Patmos. And so John was the last of the apostles. Even Paul died before John. So anyway, getting back here to John chapter number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was a Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to see Jesus. Lord, see him for who he was and what he was. Help us understand this season, the reason for the season here. Help us comprehend the greatness of this time that we celebrate. And Lord, as we go into the festivities and we go into next week, let each of the young people understand that this was not just a baby, not just some baby, but Lord, that this was God, the very God that existed from all eternity. And Lord, let them understand that truth this morning as we look in some of the truths laid out here in the book of John about Jesus and his birth and how he was incarnated into the flesh. Help us, Lord, to see and understand some truths that you exemplify here. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. If you look here a few minutes, I want to show you some things, because sometimes with this the way the world treats Christmas, and yes, sometimes they cover Jesus in it, sometimes they cover the manger and the baby, but sometimes our children, especially some of these children that's not been exposed, not been raised up, not been taught, not been in church all their life, some of these children may look at Jesus and think that he was just another baby. But John says, let me tell you a little bit about the birth of Jesus. Let me tell you who he was. When he was made flesh and dwelt among us, let me show you a few things about him. Looking back in your Bible and know this, and keep your Bibles, we're going to go to a few places. First of all, notice the fact the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now notice here that in the beginning was the Word. Now this is the same Word that become flesh. What John's getting across to us was that Jesus always existed. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses and some of those, and even some of the other religions that surround about, they like to teach that Jesus was a begotten Son of God, that he somewhere created Jesus, and he begot Jesus, and he was born to God later on. But John tears that down. He says he was always, he always was God. In other words, the Word that came, that become flesh among us, was God. It wasn't that he become God, or he become a son of God, or he was made a son of God. He was God. He was the Son of God. Now, he's eternal. As a matter of fact, keep your finger here. I'm going to take you to a verse or two on each one of these points and show you. Look at 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, if you flip over there real quickly, notice if you would, the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 1 of 1 John, that which was from what? The beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. In other words, it says, now listen, he was from the beginning. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there. Wherever you find the beginning, and there's no beginning with God, he always was. You know, there was always a couple things about God I never could understand. The reason why, it was too great for my mind, and it's too great for your mind. When did God start? He always been. Where's he going to end? He always will be. Man, that's hard to figure out, isn't it? Because we like to think about time. We like to say it starts here and it ends here. But the Bible says God always existed and he always will. Now, man, when God made man, he made him in his image and likeness. He gave man a beginning, but he made him where he would be eternal. And now you and I, because we've been made eternal, we have no end. We're going to either live forever in heaven, one of these days when everything's done, or we're going to live forever in hell. But we're going to exist one of the two places. We will never end, we'll never cease to exist, because God made you to be like him, eternal. But the only thing difference is God never had a beginning. I used to think about the universe. Where does it start? Well, what lies beyond it? What lies beyond it? I can take that pew, it starts there and it starts there, and it's got ends. But the universe has no end. It used to blow my mind. That's what happened to me, I guess. I thought about too many of those things, but there's no answers to those things. It's too great. But anyway, the Bible says in the beginning was God. And so he was there. He is the I am. He was there. That means the self-existent one. He needs nobody to exist. Amen. You and I needs God to exist. God needs nobody. Whenever Moses said, who shall I say send me? He said, you tell him I am. The word I am means I'm self-existent. I need nobody. I've always been. I always will be. And the Bible says that this Jesus that was born, he was God. In the beginning was God, was the Word. Look on. And the Word was with God. In other words, he tells us that there was a union. That you say, well, how was he the Word and he was with God if he was God? Look, if you would, in 1 John again. Turn back in 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, notice what John tells us again. The same John that's writing this. In 1 John chapter 5, notice what he says in verse 7. He says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father and what? The Word and the Holy Ghost. These three are what? Now, turn back in your Bibles. Notice the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. How was he with God? Because there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And the Son was the Word. And so he, you say, I don't understand. What we call the Trinity of God is this. There are three parts of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Always were. What does it mean they're one? That means they are perfect union with everything they do. And somebody said, Jesus taught this, but the Holy Spirit led me to do this. Oh, no. Holy Spirit never goes against Jesus. They're one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is one. There's no variance. There's no difference. They all are perfectly union together. That's why the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. He was a Son. He was with God the whole time. Now, notice this. Again, number three. Notice that not only was he with God, but notice in verse number one, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was what? Was God. Now, look, keep your finger there a moment. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. In the book of Titus, notice if you would in verse number 2, chapter 2, in verse number 13. Speaking about Jesus, it says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of what? The great God and our Savior, who? You know who Jesus was? You young people? You know who that little baby was? God. He was God. The Word that became flesh was God. He was the Son of God. Three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You say, what's the Bible? The Bible is the Word of God to us. It tells us all about Jesus from the beginning to the end. It's all about Jesus. It points to Jesus. We was reading in Genesis this morning in Sunday school and showing how it pointed pictures and it drew pictures of Jesus all along throughout the scriptures. And so therefore, the Bible, the Word of God was given to us that we might get to know God, that we might believe upon the Word, and believing upon Him, we believe upon Jesus Christ. That's where faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So not only was he with God, he was God. Now, not only that, but look on in verse number 3. The Bible says, verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by who? Him, the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, not only does it reveal that this little baby was God, it also reveals that he created everything. Look in your Bibles again. Keep your finger right there and go with me to Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. In Ephesians chapter number 3, look if you would, in verse number 9. The Bible says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath God hid in had been hid in God, who what? Created all things by who? Look on over, flip on over to Colossians, a couple more books over. Colossians chapter number 1. Notice verse number 16. Talking about Jesus again in verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were what? All things created that are where? In heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, he, this baby, this word, created everything. You're here because of Jesus. The baby, Jesus didn't start in a manger. He was always here. When he made the earth, it was Jesus. When he said, let there be light, it was Jesus. You know why? His word. When the word was spoken back then, he didn't create it by getting together and putting all these things. He just spoke it. You know why? He was a word. And being God, he could say what he wanted to. And the Bible says that we are kept by the word. You say, and every breath that you breathe is given to you by the word. Jesus is a word. And he created all things. All things were made by him and for him. So therefore, he is creator. Look on back in John chapter 1 and notice this. The Bible says in John chapter 1, again in verse 4, and in him was what? Life. In other words, he, without him, there is no life. He created life. He breathed into man the breath of life. He is responsible for life. That's why Jesus said of himself in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Not only is he the source of physical life, in him is eternal life. The only way you'll ever have eternal life is through the Word. The Word was sent, that baby sent in a manger, that baby in that manger was God. He always existed. He came that he could not only give you life, but give it to you more abundantly. You could not only have physical life that he had created, but now he wants you to have eternal life. He knows you're going to eternally exist because when he made you to be eternal. Now he wants to provide a way that you could live forever in a place he's going to go prepare for you and prepare for all those who are saved. Now, look on. Not only was he the life, but look on in the same verse. The Bible says that he was also what? He was the light of men. And by the way, look on in verse 9. That was a true light which lighteth what? That what? The Bible says every one of us has a conscience. Every one of us has been given the law of God. Now listen to me. Atheists are not born, they're learned. You hear me? When you're born, there's something inside of you that says there's a God. You have to teach yourself against it. You know why? The light. Jesus has shed light. And he has showed you that. And so therefore, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 2, men are without excuse because God has written in their heart the law of God. Every man. He has lightened everybody, and everybody, that's why you go in these uncivilized places. You go in these world places where no civilizations ever existed for a long many times, and they forgot what civilization is about. You know what you find? They're worshiping God. Some God. They may be worshiping a stick, but something inside of them tells them that they need to worship a God. Not only that, they know that there are certain laws that they need to have. And so who's responsible for that? Jesus. He's the light. Now look on. And by the way, when you reject the light, you find darkness. And know that, but notice his will in verse number 7. The Bible says the same came for a witness, talking about John the Baptist, came for a witness of the light, that all men through Jesus or him might what? Do you know what the will of Jesus is? That not one person will perish, but that all would come to repentance. This baby in the manger, you know why he came? He came for that cross right there. The whole reason why he came was to prepare himself for a cross. The whole purpose he came was not just to receive gifts. We've got this idea that Christmas is all about gifts. Well, that was God's gift to all mankind, the greatest gift ever given. You know what that gift was? The Word. The Word was God. He gave you the Word, and you know what the Word came to do? It came to die upon the cross of Calvary. You know why? You and I are sinners. He came that we might believe. You know what the will of the Word was when he came? That you would believe. He don't want to see you die and go to hell. He wants to see you go to heaven. He went to prepare a place for anybody who will believe. If you become a believer, that's where you'll end up, in heaven. You say, well, I can't. Yes, you can. Whosoever will let him come. You got to come. The whole purpose of the Christmas story is that the Word came, and his will is that all would believe. Do you notice that little word, A-double-L? You know who that includes? Everybody. He wants y'all. You say, well, what if I don't? Well, look on. Notice verse 10 and 11. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and what? The Bible says the world hates you too if you're a Christian. Look on in verse number 11. He even came into his own, talking about Israel and what happened there. And his own received him not. He came and said, listen, prepare ye. He preached, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said it. Jesus said it. His disciples said it. And you know what Israel said? We don't want this guy to be our king. Matter of fact, when Pilate, when he was put upon the cross of Calvary, Pilate put on his head, King of the Jews. They went to him and said, take that off. We don't want him to be our king. Because whenever they set up Barabbas, that criminal, that murderer, when they put up Barabbas and they put up Jesus, he said, now which one you want me to release? They said, Barabbas. Well, what would you have me do with Jesus? Crucify him. Crucify him. You know who said that? His own people. You know why? He came into his own received him not. They didn't want him. They said, that's not the Messiah. We want the Messiah to come and just lead us in and be king and let us be the greatest nation on the earth. But they forgot Isaiah 53 says, before he does that, he has to be led like a sheep before the slaughter. He's going to come and he's going to have upon him placed the iniquity of us all. He's going to bear all of our sin, all of our iniquity. You know why Jesus came? That you might be saved. But you know what? There's going to be a lot of people that rejects him. Verse number 10 and 11 tells us that even his own, when he came in his own, they rejected him. Look on if you would. Notice verse 14. And by the way, the Bible says a fool says in his heart, there is no God. Look if you would in verse 14. And notice, and the Word was made what? Flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, he walked on this earth and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In other words, he was truth. And he was created, or he was born into this world through a woman, the seed of a woman. He was promised that he would, we preached on the virgin birth the other day, he was promised that he would come as a seed of a woman, the only man to ever do that. He had no defilement of man upon him. She was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. Not a man. She never known a man. She never knew a man until she had Jesus. Because God used her vessel. And he could use any woman that was a virgin. But he chose Mary. And she was honored in that behalf. But as we preached, she is not a Godhead. She is not to be worshipped. She was a sinner like anybody else. She was just a vessel that the Word came into the flesh, and it became flesh. The Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. And so God used Mary to bring the Word into this world. Last but not least, look on. Look back, if you would, in verse number 10. Or not, verse number 12. The purpose of Christ was this. But as many as what? To them gave he power to become what? Even to them what? Would you like to be saved? Do you want to become a child of God? The Christmas story, the reason of the season, is that the Word came, made of a woman. And the Word came and become flesh. And that Word became flesh for one purpose. That has to as many as would receive him, to them he would give power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name. You say, preacher, what do I have to do to be saved? Believe in your heart in the Word. Believe that Jesus was the Son of God, took your place upon the cross of Calvary, died for your sins. You say, oh, preacher, that seems so simple. God made it simple enough that all could believe. But if it's so simple, why do so many people reject? I'll tell you why. The people in the world says this, we won't know God over us. We have no one that is over us. But you must be willing to humble yourself and come. Call upon his name. Believe upon him in your heart. Would you do that? Have you ever trusted him? Do you understand that Christmas is to reveal to us, we as Christians, we celebrate Christmas as the birth of Christ? But it was only the beginning of the Word coming into the world. It was the end at Calvary. And then he would ascend back up into the Father. And he would sit there until he comes back again and receives all those who believe unto himself. And he takes them to the place he's gone to prepare for them. That's why he said this, and we'll close with this verse. In John chapter 14, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Are you ready for him to come? Are you saved? Have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus? Do you understand the true meaning of the season? He is a reason behind this season. Let's stand this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved, and God's been dealing with your heart about your lost condition. You say, preacher, I'd like to go to heaven. I want to be saved. Would you come and put your faith and trust and believe upon Jesus? Oh, he came that to as many as would believe upon him and receive him. He gave you the power to become the sons of God. Even to all those that would believe upon his name. Would you do that this morning? Have you ever done that? Are you saved this morning?